everyone, you're listening to Operation Dichotomy. I'm Paul, I'm your host, and we are the bridge between perception and reality. As always, our goal here is to get people to listen and understand each other, grow in empathy, and by growing in empathy, understanding and unity as well. Through that process, though, we've come to realize that sometimes the voices that we want to listen to and need to listen to, they often get drowned out by too much noise in today's society. So we want to do what we can to amplify those voices because they matter, period. And so if that sounds like something that you're interested in and can get behind, be sure to connect with us at operationdichotomy.com, or you can follow us on Instagram at operationdichotomy. And last but not least, if you found any value in these podcasts and any other content that we put out, we ask you again, please share it. I think that's the easiest way to make a difference. Take the good content that affected you and share it with other people, and hopefully they'll be affected positively as well. Now, if you've been following along with us in our journey and our campaigns, by this time it's been about a week and a half when we've been talking about this idea of listening. And if I were to give, I guess, some quick rationale on why we're talking about this idea of listening is because, I mean, quite frankly, our society is not very good at it. We're not good at hearing the other perspective. We're not good at approaching conversations from a neutral perspective. We usually come in with our own biased thoughts, and we're not ready to change our mind or admit that we're wrong. But unless we're able to do that, our society is going to have more and more division. There's going to be a lot more conflict. It's just going to be an ugly place to live in. And so we're going to talk about this idea of listening today. But before we go on, let me introduce our two guests. I guess one guest and one consistent guy now. First guy I'm here with is JD Brenke. Oh, I'm sorry, JD Kim. So used to it. But JD, I'm not going to give you a long intro because we talked about you before. But man, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up, everyone? What's up, Paul? Glad to be on here. Listening is super important, needs to be a hot topic, so let's get it.
Yes, sir. And because we want to talk about listening, our special guest, JD is special, but this guy's more special. His name is Courtney Cornwall. He's a former track star at Ohio State. I'd argue he's still a track star. His expertise is in health, wellness, and fitness. And for our purposes today, where we kind of want to focus more on is he is a life coach. And right now he's our resident expert in listening. So without further ado, Courtney, welcome to the show, man. We're so glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Paul and JD. Excited to get into listening a little bit and see what you guys all think. But again, thanks for having me.
For sure. We're excited to hear what you think, yeah. And what you have to say. So let's just get at it, man. I think I kind of hinted at this in the beginning, but it's no secret that our society right now is pretty divided. We can look at it in terms of politics, which is probably one of the most divided places in our society right now. We could talk about race. We could talk about socioeconomic status. And I feel like the biggest problem, maybe the biggest solution, would be if we could learn to listen to each other. Courtney, I'm not sure if you would agree with that or if you want to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think when we kind of just think about what listening is for a second, I think that's a subject in itself, right? And a lot of times, you know, we articulate that to maybe a sound, right? But what is really listening, right? And especially from a human level, I think you bring up a great point with a lot of the issues that you mentioned. First thing I think about with listening is with the self, right? So I really feel to be a really good listener, you have to be there. You have to be present. You have to be present, like, for yourself, you know, what happened in your day. Can you get over it, right? Maybe you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or, you know, maybe something happened, you had a bad commute, you know, and if that's a situation, it's going to affect your conversations. It's going to affect, you know, what someone else might be telling you, because maybe your emotions are involved, your feelings are involved, and then you're distracted. On top of that, then we have, you know, computers and telephones and a lot of distractions. So then we're not even at the conversation yet. And now you have to pay attention to someone else who's speaking to you, and then the topics. And you mentioned politics and social economic issues and all that. So we haven't even gotten to how you grew up and what you think. So listening is just kind of, the thing is, like, what does that mean to everyone? Kind of identifying that, you know, and then how can we be really present? And I think that's where we all have to start. Like, am I present, like, right now on this podcast, right? You know, what did I do before I got on here? You know, what did you do before? I know you mentioned that you had a kind of settle your household. And, you know, are you really excited to kind of get into what this topic is? So I think it's really, you know, first, how do we show up? You know, how are we present for the conversation? And practicing that, being a life coach, is, you know, yourself. You have to be really centered with who you are, what's going on in your life, first, before you really can give someone else your attention. So I think that's where we start. And then it can spitball into topics like how you grew up. I'm an African-American male, you know, born in Jamaica, you know, traveled to or migrated to New York, then went to school Midwest, a lot of different movements. And so my perspective on life is very different from maybe your stereotypical African-American, right? And then your stereotypical white man, Asian woman, and then all these different perspectives, you know, affect how we listen to each other and what we think is what, you know.
You raised an interesting question in the beginning where you basically just even ask, like, what does listening mean to an individual? Because the idea of listening that I'm thinking about may be very different from your idea of listening. And so even when I ask you that question, like, we might be completely looking at it from different perspectives, right? So what is your idea of listening, and how do you explain to people what listening is so that we can understand? I guess we can have a foundation of this conversation.
Yeah. So to me, listening is being able to be present in the moment to someone that is communicating with you, and not distracted, and understanding what they're trying to explain and getting their perspective. That's what listening is. It's just being able to be in that position to accept that transformation of information, right? So if you're asking me a question, can I be present to listen to the question and hear how you're saying it, and then absorb it, and then maybe take a second and then react or respond to it? To me, that's what listening in is. And again, the biggest part is being present in the moment, as far as listening.
You know, when I hear you talk about that, like being present in the moment, you know, as it relates to listening, it seems like, you know, what makes it challenging for so many people is that we often get so easily distracted and our thoughts go to a lot of different places. You know, like, you could be having a conversation, I could be having a conversation, and you can say something and all of a sudden it could trigger a memory, or it can trigger what I ate last night, or things like that. And so how do you know, when you talk about being centered within yourself and you talk about, you know, being aware of what's going on, how do we do that without being distracted by the things that come up as we're present with other people?
You know, JD, that's a challenge. I think that's $1 million question. I think with the phones that we have and how we all communicate, that's the challenge, right? But, you know, be empathetic, right? One of the things I learned when I was going through life coaching is being able to regurgitate what someone asked you. You know, hey, how's your day going? Oh, it's been good. And, like, you just maybe keep going. But, oh, thank you for asking me that question. I appreciate that. How is your day going? That's like you're listening to what a person is saying, but you're also repeating possibly what they said. You know, you just ask me a question, I just kick it right back. We're connected and we're present. You know, how often maybe you hear someone say, hey, how you doing? Again, oh, I'm doing great. You know, and they don't make eye contact, but it's just an automatic response. but really maybe slowing that thought process down and, you know, hey, thank you again for asking me that question. And, you know, are you enjoying the day? You know, and I think that's really the difference, is maybe regurgitating it back to them. In essence, you show empathy that you are really there and you've heard their question. And I think that's a good example of how someone is listening to you.
To me, that sounds like a skill that you have to practice, because I'm not sure if I have erred more on the side of the former, where, especially when I meet new people, oh man, this is bad, but basically a lot of times I meet somebody new, shake their hand, be like, hey, you know, how are you doing? My name is Paul. What's your name? And they tell me their name, and then I'll start talking about something. But then 2 seconds later, like, shoot, what was your name? And I completely didn't even hear it, even though I thought I heard it. How do you practice that? Like, how do you gain that skill of learning to regurgitate information back to that person to show that you are listening?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. I think it's just curiosity, right? It's just being so curious, you know, like where you're from, you know, where you maybe even got your name from. Just being really curious about listening more and being attentive. And it's a detail thing. I think it's one of the practices I do with some of my groups. I do a lot of different group trainings and like fun games. And one of the things I like to do is like sometimes we play like a freeze tag game. And the only way you can unfreeze someone is if you remember their name. And it's a fun way to do it, but it makes you consider how you recall things and recant things. So I would say the practice is just kind of being attention to detail and being curious. Like, you know, how curious are you to how someone's day's gone if you're just saying it, right? Or, if you know, how curious, you know, are you asking someone's name if you're not going to remember it? Sometimes people have different ways of remembering names, whether it's like saying it 10 times when they hear it or using it in speech. How I typically like to remember people's names is I use it in speech. Like, for example, we got on a call today, you know, thanks for having me, Paul. Thanks for having me, JD. Right? Like, you now I don't forget your name because it's a part of my speech. And again, I would say another piece would be curious. That's the you know, you probably hear me talk about that a lot today, is how curious are we? And children are super curious. They remember all kinds of stuff, right? Because you're continuing to learn and develop your mind, and you ask questions in order to do that. And I think we don't always ask enough questions. So something like a name, like, you know, you want to ask someone their name, and then you want to spit it back in sentence. I think that'd be a great practice for people to kind of remember names.
I love the idea of curiosity as a method, let's say, or a way of connecting with people. Because, you know, we're complex. Every person is even, you shared about your life. You know, we have different places of origin. We have different experiences. All of those make us who we are. And part of the assumptions we run with when we see someone, and everyone's brain works this way because we have schemas of thought that do this, right? You know, I see an African-American male, I see an Asian woman, I see a white male, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, let me get a sense of, you know, a bit of their story. And then my schemas run quickly to judge who they are. But curiosity could be a way of breaking that cycle and investing deeper into their life. And so I'd love to hear more about curiosity. You know, how do we do it? You know, how do we do it respectfully? You know, what are some of the things that it can lead to? That can help us connect with other people as we explore curiosity.
That's what it is, man. This is my thing, curiosity, right? That's, to me, what allows us to know each other, learn each other, respect each other. We don't always have to agree, but I always bring it back down to children. Like I mentioned a while ago, and kids will ask you, sometimes we think the most obvious questions, right? But they're asking because they just don't know. You know, we might do some weird things, and for them, they're like, well, why is daddy going outside with no shirt on and it's 30 degrees out, right? And they'll ask you where you and I might be like, oh, that guy's crazy. He's going outside and it's 30 degrees. I has no shirt on. We might judge. And we might not know what's going on, but we'll judge. With kids, they're more curious. They're like, hey, you know, why are you doing that? And it, oh, I'm going out because I'm in a rush. Oh, okay, I understand. You get their perspective. So I think when you hear curiosity, or when I think about curiosity, you mentioned different races and backgrounds. It's like, okay, so I see a black man, he has a hood on, you know, stereotype is that he is, you know, gonna harm someone, right? But being curious is just, you know, how can I get out my own way? Has he harmed someone yet? What kind of questions or what kind of positions can I put myself in? And why do I think that? That's the most challenging piece. But I think when we get these nagging or negative thoughts, we have to ask ourselves, are we being curious? Are we being compassionate enough, right? Are we really finding out, like, maybe what that person is thinking, right? And I think that's the challenge around communication. And that's a challenge around learning people and their different perspectives. Because I can be judgy, really judgy. And I think, Paul, we talked about this. Like, I'm in the fitness industry. And so there's a lot of things that people assume from, you know, a fitness professional, right? Oh, this guy's fit. He works out 3 times a day. He drinks his protein, you know, shakes every day. Like, he does 150 push-ups. You know, and a lot of those things might be practical, but, you know, most fitness professionals, there's a lot more to them than, you know, a dumbbell and a barbell and protein shakes, right? And, you know, most fitness professionals are highly educated, right? And so just being curious, hey, how did you come into this? I used to be a mapping engineer before I became a personal trainer. Just asking that question, though, can kind of give you a different lens into my perspective, my life. So I think to kind of go back, JD, really, how do you be curious? You gotta, when you feel that, okay, I know this person and I haven't even spoken to them yet, let me ask a question, right? Let me be curious. And I think it has to be the trigger before we start assuming, oh, this guy's gonna rob me, or, you know, this person is gonna be super kind to me or whatnot.
I feel like the other side, maybe not the other side, but I feel like humility goes hand in hand with curiosity. When I listen to the examples you were giving, for example, the dad who goes outside, no shirt, 30 degree weather, immediately my mind was either he's crazy or he is training for something, or he's trying to get mentally tough, or it's for a purpose, right? But the reason why I think I can see the latter as opposed to defaulting to the former is because I've seen people who do that. They put themselves in uncomfortable positions intentionally in order to be prepared for the worst when they have to be. But I feel like the reason why we don't default to curiosity like kids do is because our own ego gets in the way. And what I mean by that is, it just doesn't make sense to me. Therefore, this person must be an idiot. Like, what is he doing? Or I assume the worst in a black man wearing a hoodie. Therefore, he must be this, as opposed to what you're saying, a child's perspective of curiosity is just, I wonder why, right? Just get me out of the picture altogether and think, man, I wonder why this guy's going outside in 30 degree weather, half naked. There must be a reason, but I wonder why it is. Same thing with the hoodie. Like, I wonder why he's in a hoodie, or I wonder why this person is doing this. How do you see humility playing into all of this along with curiosity?
Yeah, I do think it does connect, right? And I think humility comes with learning and education, right? You know, have I gotten to a point in my life where I don't need to learn anymore? And that's humility. So it's like, I want to improve myself as a human. I want to be better. I want to learn more. And I think that's humility, looking at you in the mirror every morning. So I think it plays a big role. And I think once you stop learning, you stop trying new things, that is going to impact how you judge people, or how you might think someone is not smart for doing this or that and whatnot. So I think it's a huge piece. That's where we are. We're in a really bad world because I think a lot of us stop learning, right? So once we stop challenging growth, you just revert to what you know, what you're good at, and what you've seen. Whereas a child, an analogy always used or example always used with a child is like, you have children, like there's a point where you wake up one morning and your kid has jumped out of the crib and they're standing on 2 feet and they've never done that before, right? And a lot of that is curiosity and it's just growth and it happens naturally, right? It's uncertain. So we talk about certainty too, is that, when we know exactly what we're going to do, we stop growing. We know exactly who we think we are, we stop growing. But the piece to me that makes us continue to grow as humans when we continue to challenge what is out there, learning someone's language or speaking to someone that you would normally speak to before. I had a really great example of this a couple weeks ago. I bought a car from a Caucasian couple, an older couple, maybe 20 miles from me. Went out there. Again, I'm an African-American man driving through these like rocky dirt roads. And I'm like, okay, the George Floyd thing going on, the police brutality. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? So I'm driving dirt road. You see like one house every 5 minutes. And I'm like, okay, is this safe? Is this a setup? I'm nervous, right? I'm just nervous. So I pull up. Meet this man. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met. Him and his wife, his dog, his family, we go through this transaction. It's one of the most pleasant transactions I've ever had. We actually exchange information and we kept in touch. His son is actually into some production, try to connect him with a friend. And it was the total opposite from what I had expected. But I just went in and I was myself. I started asking questions. I was super curious. He's a very detailed guy. He was very detailed. He felt super comfortable with me. And I think we left like both really happy, but we were both humble. So you talked about humility. We both showed up like, okay, we're going to do a transaction and it's okay. And we're going to talk to each other like just two humans, and we learned each other. So humility gets in our way sometimes, if obviously we're not. And if you're humble, I think you can accomplish anything. And in respects to communication, growth, listening, I think that can happen when you're super humble. And it was one of the most pleasant interactions, transactions I've ever had. And I felt happy about it, regardless of what's going on in the world. We just need a little bit more humility.
The thing that I really appreciate about that, Courtney, is that, you've kind of mentioned it several times, right? With what's happening in our country, most times when people have interactions, they run to assumptions, generalizations, stereotypes. And rather than having the humility to be curious, they're motivated by fear. And that fear is real, right? What am I going into? Is this a setup? And multiple angles, whether it's like a protester who's peaceful, but they look like they're rioting, right? Or there's all of this. And, like one of the things that we've been really talking about Apparition Academy, we've done it for quite a while. And one of our campaigns previous to this was, how do we be allies? And I feel like part of allyship we talked about was knowing each other's stories, having the humility and the willingness to like almost give the benefit of the doubt. But it sounds like what you're saying is we gotta learn how to do it in the spur of the moment. Because if we don't do it, then we may completely close ourselves off to an encounter that's a lot more pleasant than we would have ever imagined. And so a lot of people, right, rather than showing up or even entering into that place, might be driven by a fear that prevents them from moving towards somebody. But what I loved about what you just shared was you can actually find courage, and have humility and compassion and move towards someone. And so how do you think that, what you shared was like this individual story, which is so powerful, but what are some words that you could say for us as like people and as a society? Like, how do we broaden that, so that it becomes a bigger way of life where people are not being driven by fear and having to push away or oppress, but moving towards the other person? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, overall, we have to do better. I think everyone has to want to do better. And then one thing that's always been close to me is community. It's really being able to do that within a community. And and be compassionate about it. I always say this is like really more education. It's like, how can I continue to challenge myself and growth? And the things I say, they're pretty simple. Yeah, I think these are this kind of values. Like, are you getting better? What does getting better mean? Right? Like, say maybe you're a Hispanic and you grew up in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood, eating predominantly Spanish food, which is fine. I think it's great. But can you interact with other cultures, right? Same thing for if you're African American. I think, again, it'll come back to curiosity. It's going to come back to community. Can we connect? Because the truth is, you have had persecutions against all kinds of different ethnic groups throughout history, right? And to stop that is really community. You know, I think something that moves me really emotionally is when I see like a Caucasian person like step up and defend my right, my people's right. That's awesome. It's like a, it makes me more emotional when I see that happen than when an African-American person does it. Cause I think that's what's our right, right? We just do that. But that to me is community. That's togetherness. That's doing better. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take more interactions like I described for us to continue to get better. So the practice is like, you know, checking yourself, right? Like, how do you show up in the morning? You know, what shifts do I have to make? You know, what is your level of happiness? Is your level of happiness bringing someone down? Because I think intrinsically, we know that's not a good feeling, you know, right or wrong. Like, and I think it takes someone that looks like you to challenge you, like, hey, that's not right. You know, and I think what's positive is our new generation, you know, our young generation, I should say, they know what is right. You know, they know what is wrong and they check us often. And I think we just have to be able to check and be more community more often in order to get a better result. But we have to be uncomfortable. There's no doubt that I know that some of the things that I've been able to work on over the years, it's really uncomfortable, right? Driving up that hill was uncomfortable. You know, getting out, not judging someone that didn't look like me was uncomfortable. And unfortunately, sometimes it's an unfortunate situation that, you know, someone is harmed in a situation like that, right? So I want to also be clear that, you know, I'm going out on a limb, but you're in a wrong neighborhood, you're in a wrong state, it could go the other way, and it's sad, and that's just the reality. However, I think for us to move forward, we have to start to meet each other where we're at.
Oh man, I don't have the statistics on this, but I'm gonna err on the side of saying that the reason why we should be able to move forward in discomfort instead of being stuck in fear is because, yes, those unfortunate situations do happen. But I also feel like that is the, by far, minority. Is that how you say it? It's very, very few compared to the majority of times where the interactions are pleasant, like Courtney, you had with that couple. And I'd actually be interested to hear their perspective. Like, I wonder if they had the same fears or the discomfort and the uncertainty of that same meeting. Like, oh my God, he's going to rob us. Or like, what's the stereotype there, right? And how was that overturned because of their own curiosity? I think we kind of talked about how listening will positively affect our society as a whole. And I don't want to go too much further into that because I feel like we kind of have an idea. But one thing that you just mentioned was that it can often be uncomfortable for us to get in a position of curiosity and listening. And for a lot of people, I feel like creating a better society for everyone else is not enough motivation for us to get into discomfort. If we're just being real, we had this whole series about if not us, then who, where we're trying to motivate people to solve the problems that they see, even if it's not going to directly benefit them right now, but work for the greater good of society. But I feel like this idea of listening, there's so much personal benefit that can be had as well. It's going to benefit society and bring people together, but it benefits us as human beings. And can you speak on that a little bit? Like, how has your life changed and your interactions changed as you yourself became a better listener over time as well?
Yeah, it became more meaningful. I think, you know, you, as far as listening and being like present in most situations, it's more meaningful. That's how it's really affected my life. I would say, you know, being able to help people has always been like a passion of mine. It brings me a lot of joy and happiness. And I think that's just something that I think a lot of us don't really know, right? So especially now, like there's a lot of people who are unhappy. But really what the definition of being, say, unhappy is not knowing what you want. And I think once you figure out what you want, you can then figure out what you need to do to become happy. And for me, figuring out what pleasures me and makes me happy, obviously, is helping people. It just makes me want to listen. It makes me want to help someone else, because I know when I really listen and I help. And a lot of times, Paul, listening to helping someone else is actually not saying anything, right? Literally, it's just not responding. It's not reacting, right? It's just being there. And I think a lot of times that allows people to grow and to open up. But for me, my level of happiness, again, has created better communication with me and those around me. It's allowed me to want to, again, I'll say this again, learn more about myself and certain things that I want to accomplish in life. And I think that's where that ambition has to lie. Like, how am I, and you mentioned this, how are you like taking care of yourself? How are you getting better? Because once you're good, once you're better, once you're in a happy place, you can really help someone else. And that's how the world changes. It doesn't change because a bunch of people listen to this podcast and we just start helping people. It doesn't work like that. You have to fix you first. You have to be completely like understanding of where you're at. Because once you do that, then you can move forward and have a positive conversation with someone and potentially help change their perspective on how they see you or someone else. And to me, that's the positive change that comes. So I think for me, my journey is that, you know, I've had ups and downs. I've had different changes in my life. It's just really like, what makes you happy? You know, why does it make you happy? And then, okay, great. Now you know what makes you happy. How can you continue doing this and helping others along the way? And I feel like this life coaching journey that I've been on, helping people figure out what they're trying to do with life, that makes me super happy. So I'm excited to do that. So listening for me is super easy, especially when I'm in that line of work.
You know, in the spirit of like people having to do the work themselves first before expecting the other person to do the work, and being able to show up as someone who's, you know, educated and learned and done the work of being able to be present, what's the one thing that you'd want our listeners to hear, right? Like in that spirit of like, you got to do the work yourself. And if there was like a, I'm going to boil it down to this one concept, this one thing I want you to walk away with, what would you say to our listeners about that?
Yeah, it's self. You know, how well do you know yourself, right? How, you know, when you wake up in the morning, like, you know, what are those thoughts like? You know, what are your intentions like? You know, just kind of looking yourself in the mirror and like, you know, what kind of person are you? Are you happy with who you are, right? And what I mean is not how you look per se. It's just like your purpose. You know, do you well define that? Do you know what that is? And for a lot of us, man, that's doing a 9-to-5, which is fine. That's, you know, dropping our kids off at daycare. That's traveling across, you know, the town to go to work. And for a lot of us, that's like tunnel vision, you know, your blinders on, and you're not even thinking about yourself. And then you got road rage, and then, you know, you don't like your employees, you don't like your, you know, coworkers, or, you know, you are agitated easy. You can't wait to take a vacation. And when you do take a vacation, you're drinking and eating the whole time. And you never really take the time to think about like what actually not only makes you happy, but what your purpose is. So I think JD, to just kind of keep it simple, is it's like when you are wake up, you know, how do you see yourself? Are you content with how you feel? Are you happy? Are you excited to jump in your car and go to work or drop your kids off? Where's your level of happiness? Because really think about this, right? If you're super happy in your life, are you going to get up in the morning load up your gun and go try to take someone's life? Probably not, right? People, I don't know if anyone wakes up and says, okay, all right, today's the day, I'm just going to get someone. If you're doing that, like, there's something off, right? And it might take a friend, it might take someone that looks like you to say, hey, man, have you ever considered not carrying your gun today, right? Or have you ever considered, you know, praying? Or have you ever considered, you know, going for a walk, right? It might just take someone that looks like you and does similar things to you, like you, to make you reconsider, are you happy? Because we're humans. We know getting up every day and taking someone's life is not something that you would rejoice about, right? It's not a good feeling, right? And we all know the rights and wrongs. And I think so, that's an extreme example, right? But we just look at it black and white like that. We know, okay, are we checking ourselves at the door to know that we're going to show up as the best we can, or even improve, you know, who we are when we wake up in the morning.
Courtney, so far we talked about being present, like being 100% present where you're at to be a listener. Talked about being curious, and curiosity comes with humility as well. Put your ego aside. Listening sometimes just means shutting your mouth and not saying anything, and literally just sitting and absorbing the words that are being said. And I think the last point that you alluded to right now, which also is kind of like the first point, was being self-aware, listening to yourself, understanding where you're coming from. My guess is that this, as valuable as everything you have shared with us today is, there's so much more that you can share and help people with. And so as we begin to wrap it up, Courtney, where is a great place for people to connect with you if they want to ask you questions or become a track star or anything? Where's a good place?
Yeah, well, you know, Instagram is where it seems like everything is at right now. So I would say from a social media perspective, me easy to get on Instagram. My handle is fit_MrC. So that's fitwit_MRC. And you can just find me on Instagram. You know, that's probably the easiest way. You send me a DM to get in touch with me.
And for our audience, I'm going to have that in the show notes as well, just to make it easier. You can click away. Courtney obviously is filled with lots and lots of wisdom. There's a reason why he helps people get to where he is in life. I know there's no video attached to this podcast, but this is a guy who obviously takes care of himself very well, mentally and physically. And if there's anybody that you want to learn from or get coaching from, it's this man right here. So that's my plug. I mean every word of it. I probably don't even know the half of what you have to offer, but this is the guy. JD, as we wrap up, as usual, the man of wisdom. Any last words?
Yeah, I think the wisdom nugget I walk away with, you know, as I've heard what we've talked about, is, you know, listening as the ability to be present. It's fueled by curiosity and compassion. And if we do that, it can help us become more connected and eventually lead to something beautiful called community, where we might have the possibility of actually seeing each other as humans and and living in a better world. And Courtney, I think what you've said today speaks a lot to it. So thank you.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I think it's, you know, Paul, you mentioned, and you probably talk into different levels about listening, community, you know, all the different adjectives you used today. The last thing I would say is this, you know, probably rope this right back into curiosity, is that if you're asking someone questions, and that's a great way of listening. You know, think about what you two guys are doing. You know, you're asking me questions. There's no way I could be thinking about anything else because you're getting questions asked. So, you know, your mind is constantly focused on the moment. And I think we go back to kind of how we opened this, is like, let's be curious. Let's be little kids again. Let's ask a lot of questions. Because if you're not asking someone a lot of questions, that person that you're shooting these questions are, they're going to be attentive to you. They're going to have to listen to the question, recall a memory or a feeling to respond. And I think we need more of that. You get more of that, you'll start solving a lot of problems. And just like you said, JD, community happens. And community is just, it's not a certain ethnic group or obviously culture, but it's, community is just a place, right? and we could make that whatever we want, so long as we're open to kind of listening to each other.
So everyone, listen to each other, be curious, create community by being present. And I mean, that's it. Be present, ask questions, listen. And I'm sure that as we move forward in those things, we're going to create a better society for ourselves as well as the generations to come. Courtney, thank you again so much. And your time is extremely valued by us, and I'm sure the audience as well. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. JD, thanks for sharing your wisdom. And to everyone else, until next time.